202 days and counting till the country goes to the polls in what might be one of the closest elections. Well, since the last one, I guess. Here in the West, of course, there are always those constituencies which are seen as the kind of swing seats, the ones which could tip the balance of who is Prime Minister and who is Leader of the Opposition in 7 months' time. Well, my next guest wants to be the man in number 11 Downing Street come May the 8th. Let's say a very good afternoon to the Shadow Chancellor, Ed Balls, who is in Bristol. Very good to chat with you.
I'm still grappling with the flags and the flight deck.
Yeah,
and
I think
I've not got it yet.
I thought you'd rang in to take part in Jeff's quest.
I know. I was worried you could ask me. I'm not sure.
It'd be very unfair to ask you to identify the locality. Where have you been, incidentally, today?
I've been at TDK in the Science Park in the constituency of Kingswood with our candidate there called Joe McCarron. And then I've just been spending the last hour talking with the Southwest CBI, with businesses from right across the whole of the Southwest. I've been in the ITV studios, popping out to a dinner tonight. And I'm also here with a guy called Graham Cole, who's the chair of Augusta Westland down in Yeovil, who's doing a review for us for the Labour government for me coming into government next year, as to what more we can do to back exports and help us earn our way to more jobs and more prosperity in the future. So it's been a very busy day.
Okay, I like the cut of your jib about next year. Kingswood is a crucial seat. Roger Berry was the MP, the Labour MP for Kingswood for donkey's years. He lost his seat, though, to Chris Skidmore. How important is Kingswood to you?
It's hugely important. It's interesting. It's a very similar kind of constituency to the one I represent up in Yorkshire, on the edge of Leeds, the edge of Wakefield, near the motorways. Lots of people are commuting into the cities, people in work but worrying about their living standards, concerned about immigration and the need to control it in a fair way, wanting to make sure the National Health Service is properly protected, and making journeys to hospitals in the centres of towns. So it's a really important constituency, and we won it, I think, in 1992. It was one of the seats we held in 97 when we had a majority. We lost it in 2010, and that constituency, Bristol West and North West as well, those are three Bristol seats which we need to win back if we're going to win a majority next year. So I think our candidate, Jo McCarron, is very local. She's an artist and a local person and very embedded in the community. I think she'd make a very good MP, but we're going to work hard to get her into Parliament next year.
Well, she lives in Bath, doesn't she? So she's not local. She was your second choice as well, because Josie Chanish...
If you come from Yorkshire, Bath feels pretty local, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not quite local enough.
Josie,
I think she lives in the constituency now, though.
Josie Chanish was your original choice, who resigned over unpaid parking fines, despite being a councillor in London who oversaw the parking situation. Is that an all a bit embarrassing for you?
Well, it sounds pretty embarrassing, and I think she made the right decision to resign by the sound of it. But Jo is a good candidate, and I think she'll make a very good MP.
Okay. Your party, 7 months to go to the big day. David Drew from these parts, he's a prospective candidate in Stroud. He's called Labour, he's a Labour man, but he's called your policies disastrous. What do you make of that?
Well, I think he said that he wanted to nationalise, to renationalise the railways. And I understand that argument, but at a time when I'm going to be facing a very big budget deficit coming into government next year, it's really important that I am clear with people that we're only going to make promises which we can afford and we can pay for. We've not got a big pot of money to buy back the railways. I don't think that would be the best thing in terms of passengers. What we need to do is make sure we're investing for the future and that we've got the right kind of tough regulation. We're saying that would allow the East Coast, which is currently a not-profit company, to bid for future franchises, but I don't agree with David on that one. I think he's also calling for the Conservative policy of having a referendum on Europe in 2017, and again, I'm not sure that's the right thing, but David and I are absolutely united on wanting a tax on bank bonuses to guarantee a job for young people, on having a mansion tax to invest more in the National Health Service, and saying that we would reverse David Cameron's cut in the top rate of income tax for people earning over £150,000 to get the deficit down in a fair way. So in any political party, there'll be some people who don't agree with everything we're saying, but David and I are on the same page, and we both want to stand up for working people in Gloucester.
OK, you say you're on the same page, and you allude to the railways. I mean, this is what you told our Sunday politics show at the weekend. Have a little listen. It's only 30 seconds.
Go on.
I'll say our policies are disastrous because they're not appealing to our core vote. And we've just got to actually listen to what our core vote are feeling. They are fed up with the austerity message, which is being jammed down our throat morning, noon and night. They're fed up with the fact that we can't have a vote on Europe. And they're fed up with the non-intervention in issues like renationalising the railway.
Are they that fed up?
I think people are pretty fed up in our country at the moment. That's why we've got a challenge to get the Labour vote to come out in the Hayward and Middleton by-election. It's why the Conservatives lost Clacton to UKIP. Too many people say to us on the doorstep, you're all the same, and we've got to show, as I've just described to you, we've got policies which will deliver rising living standards for working people. But I think maybe where I disagree with David is this. When he says people are fed up with austerity, they're fed up with the unfairness of this Tory government. But the fact is, George Osborne has not got the deficit down. The deficit will be big when we come into government next year. And if I was to come along and say, I can spend more, that we can borrow more for spending, that we can do that without worrying about the deficit, I think exactly the people David is concerned about would say, well, hang on a sec, that's not going to work. If we're going to deliver a higher minimum wage and more spending in the National Health Service and jobs for young people and energy price freeze, we've also got to show we can succeed where George Osborne has failed.
And where are you going to get the money from for that, incidentally? I mean, it all sounds great. I think I should imagine when you're not in power, it's quite easy to say what you will do. Where would you find the money for that, Mr. Bowles?
What I'm not going to do, first of all, is do what David Cameron did last week and come along and say, I'll make a £7 billion promise of a tax cut without any idea of when the money's going to come from.
So where will your money come from and all the things you've just alluded to?
Well, first of all, we will put the top rate of income tax back up to 50p while we get the deficit down. We'll take the winter allowance away from the richest pensioners. I've said, and this is difficult, that we will keep the 1% cap on the rise in child benefit for one more year because we're all going to have to tighten our belts. We're having a review of every pound of government spending because there's going to have to be cuts when we come into government. And the most important thing we've got to do is get our economy not only growing, but also creating more good jobs with rising wages so people are better off, and then paying the tax which comes with that, which helps us to get the deficit down. If we don't have a strong growing economy, if we don't have more exports and more business investment, and this is where I probably do disagree with David, the Tory policy at the moment on leaving Europe is putting off investment and damaging our chances of jobs and investment and tax revenues coming in. And I don't think we can afford to walk away from our biggest single market. I'm for reform in Europe. I'm for tough and fair controls on immigration. I'm for fair movement, not free movement. But I'm not for walking away from Europe and just saying we'll go it alone as little England, because I think that would be very damaging. And companies, big companies from around the world who've come to invest here would say, actually, maybe we'd be better off going somewhere else.
Okay. And you're quite confident, obviously, you can deliver all of that.
Well, I think it's going to be really, really tough if you think...
Because there's still this huge deficit. You know, it's not going to go away with a blink of an eye, whoever's in control of the country.
But that's what I said to you from the beginning of this interview. George Osborne said he would get rid of the deficit in this Parliament, and it's not worked because the economy's not grown in the first 3 years. And because, as we've seen this year, he's not getting the tax revenues in because there's so many low-paid jobs being created where people aren't paying any income tax at all. We need to have an economy which grows and creates more good jobs, and we're going to have to make tough decisions in government. Labour will do that. We will balance the books, but we'll do it in a fair way.
And how long would that take? I mean, George Osborne said at his last speech it's going to take another few years. How long would it take you to get rid of the deficit?
Well, I've said that we will get the national debt falling and balance...
How long would it take to get rid of
the current budget in the next Parliament, by the end of the next Parliament, and I would like to do it as soon as I can in the next Parliament. But I can't say to you I could do it in the first year, because I think people would say, well, you know, really? And keep the NHS functioning and keep our children learning in schools? I think it's important we take a balanced approach to this. It will depend upon the economy and what happens to the public finances, but I guarantee we will do this in the next Parliament. We'll get the national debt falling and we'll balance the books. But we'll do it in a fair way.
Really good to chat with you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Enjoy the rest of Bristol.
And you.
Take care.
Cheers.
Ed Bowles, the Shadow Chancellor, live on BBC Radio Bristol.